a lack of knowledge at all about the things discussed. Rather, it could just be lack of application of what you've heard, where we have wisdom. Somebody rightly said this, and I agree, he said the greatest disease in the world is ignorance. He said because every other disease has a cure, but ignorance becomes incurable. You don't cure ignorance, you only have to know. You cannot manage ignorance. And that's why in this instance, when Paul says, be not ignorant, by the time you read chapter 14, and read, you know, even from chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts and use the physical body as a semblance, as a symbol, you see that ignorance really had to do with questions you not ask them. You know, he said, if you speak with tongues and there comes somebody who is unlearned, you don't say you are mad. You know, so those are rhetorical questions that he began to ask in 1 Corinthians 14. And those are questions that address your mind. Rhetorics in language is to address your mind to something. Would he not say you are mad? So you go back and say, well, that means it is wrong for me to give tongues without interpretation when an unbeliever is there or an untaught person. And it says, you know, if you all speak and then you all talk, how would somebody come in and get edified? You know, those are questions that, you know, attack the ignorance in the way we act. And then they address our minds and look, the intent of the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of God at all is to edify the church, to build up. Now, when it leaves building up and you're just doing things only for yourself, in the case of tongues, in the church, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself, he that prophesies edifies the church. So you see that the edification is being done, but not done to minister. Ephesians 4:11 says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, then for the edifying of the body of Christ. So even if the saints have been perfected and they're doing the work of ministry, but the church has not been edified, the intent of that ministry is defeated. In other words, we must see edification as the essence. The minute you see gifts of the Spirit as just something that, you know, you're just excited at the power of God within you and the power of God through you, you're still largely ignorant, you know, of the gifts of God. So Paul begins to pose questions. Know ye not? If you do this, and he now use the symbols, parables of instruments of war, parables of instruments of music, and then to let you see that, look, the intent of gifts of the Spirit is so that you can edify. So it's not good enough to just know about the gift of the Spirit. It's also good to know much more about having just that, snapshot about the thing, but going further to know how to minister it, how to minister to you. Not just you ministering to someone, but also you must know how to receive from the gifts of God. It's not just you ministering as the gifts of God, but also how to receive, you know, from the gifts of God. So it tells you in verse 4, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. It says, but there are differences of administration. It says, the same Lord. It says, and there's of operations, the same God which works on all in all. So he says, you can see the three divisions of the human spirit born again. One is referred to as the gifts of the Spirit. Then you have the administration of the gifts of the Spirit. Then you have the workings of that administration, how they function, you know, the operations of the human spirit. Now, you're not discussing God here. You're discussing the man born again. You're not discussing God. We are discussing it coming from God, yes. We are discussing the functions of the recreated human spirit. We are not discussing God. It's not God that is the gift of the Spirit. It's not God that is in diversity. It's not God that is in diversity. It's the operations of God in the human spirit. Or better still, the expression of the human spirit born again with the power of God within. That's what we see as diversity. God is not in diversity. And that's why it says the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. So, it's the diversity comes to the human spirit that is born again. And that's why we see it in the functions of sight, where we have revelation, the functions of speech, where we have utterance gifts, and then the functions of deeds, where we have the power gifts. And we classify that over and over and over again, and we have no reasons, you know, to not use that classification. We have the utterance gifts, revelation gifts, then the power gifts of the human spirit. That is, the capacity of the human spirit is classified into three: the utterance, the revelation, then the power gift. But basically what we have in chapter verse 4 to 6 is the division of the workings of God in us. We have it as gifts, then as ministries, then the operation of the gifts in the ministries will be the workings of God. So it's the same God worketh all in all. I want to address our minds to something, you know, very key. I think I mentioned this when we began the series. That you remember Moses, you know, did say something. Go to it, Numbers. Numbers 11. Moses did say something, you know, very, very instructive. You know, remember when he had spoken to God about how he cannot bear the burden of Israel alone, and then God said, put 70 elders, and when they stand with you in the tabernacle, I'll take the Spirit upon you, I'll put upon all the 70, and they will minister with you. So, when that was done, and God said that, you can see that in Numbers 11, 25, and then two of those elders, that means there are 68 in the tabernacle, Eldad, you know, and Nadab were not there. They were outside the tabernacle, and yet the Spirit rested on them. And that's where you find tangibility. To rest on. That means there was a tangible, like a force, as it were. It's not a force, but like a force. Something you can feel. Just like in Acts 2, and there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and then filled the house where they were seated. And they appeared unto them. That's tangible for you to see. In the same way, this is tangible on the 70. And then these two folks, you know, began to prophesy. Then, you know, Joshua, who felt the protocol was not followed, now ran to Moses and said, then, verse 27 says, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And then, you know, said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. In verse 28, Moses said unto them, envyest thou for my sake? Would God, please follow this, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord will put a spirit on them. Now, that's a strong word. He said, if God will do it, and you see, just like when you have the priesthood, if you have listened to that teaching, the priesthood of our priesthood in Christ, I did mention to you that God gave a promise to Israel, and he said in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, that his will and purpose was for the whole of Israel to be a kingdom of priests. That is, they will be kings and priests, and they will minister to God. And then they told God, you know, and they said, look, Lord, we don't want to be priests. Take somebody who will stand between you and us. We don't want to hear your voice. And so oftentimes what we see will be man's inability to receive God's word. And so God now chose by the law Aaron and then his tribe, which is Levi, to have priests unto him. Exodus 28 verse 1. And all through the ages, that division has been done because Levi or the Aaronic priesthood seem to be those who will be ministering to God and ministering to the people from God. They will have the high priest and so on and so forth. So everybody seemed to agree that there will be a people that God will choose, but that's not it. That wasn't the mind of God. The mind of God was to have every one of his children, now as Israel now, to function in the same capacity. Not in leadership, nope, but in ministering his power, his word, and his glory. So left to the Lord, everybody, you know, the way we have the prophets of the old, everyone should have been a prophet, but didn't receive the word of God. They couldn't receive the word of God. So what we have is that we now have some people who were prophets. But now notice something. Moses says, would to God that all his people were prophets. Now that word in the Hebrew is a seer. S-E-double-S-double-E-R. Somebody who sees in the Spirit. Who sees visions. And who speaks by revelation. So will to God that the Spirit will rest on all his people, and everybody will be a seer. One who sees and one who speaks. That's the will of God. Now, Acts of the Apostles, and then God did save. Acts of the Apostles 2 verse 17, Peter says, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days. And the last days here is the same last days in Hebrews 1, 2. God who has sundry times in diverse manners spoken times past unto our fathers by the prophets. In the last days, same time, spoken of in his son, in Jesus Christ. So the same way now, last days, this is the age of the church. It says, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, notice this, shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is the ministry of the prophet, the seer. So that means everybody who is in the last days, who is in the Son, that is in Christ, is a seer. Or maybe potentially, is a seer. All of God's children. And how does that happen? Don't forget what he told Israel, if you will obey my commandment. Exodus 19 verse 6, verse 5 and 6, if you will obey my commandment. Now that's today, the gospel. Hebrews chapter 4, but my covenant, pardon me. Hebrews 4, 2 says, the gospel that was preached to them was preached also unto us. But they did not mix it with faith. The same message was preached. Now, so if you receive the message of the gospel, if you believe in Jesus, you're automatically a seer. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're a seer. That is, you have the capacity to see. You have the capacity to speak by revelation, and then to see also revelation. All of God's children function in their spirit as seers. All of God's children function in their spirit. I said, in their spirit as seers. That tangibility that came on those 70, and they functioned like Moses as it were, doesn't come on us, it now walks through us. Tangibly, there's a person, there's a being, as it were, and that being is a new creature, in us, with us, that functions as the seer of the whole covenant. Now, I've said that before, just reiterating that all over again. So we have the ability to see and then to speak by revelation. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul now speaks concerning himself. He says, verse 1, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago. We've spoken about this. So he talks about the abundance of revelation for him in verse 7. And there was a revelation here refers to the revelation gifts of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and then the discerning of spirits. Now we will come in here. We've said something now. And we have said every one of God's children in his spirit has the spirit of seeing and knowing. I'll take that again. Has the spirit of seeing and knowing. And that spirit is also the spirit of divine utterance. Has the spirit of seeing and knowing. Now let me say this. Whenever you hear the word in the spirit, it refers to revelation and utterance. Power gifts are not in the spirit. Power gifts are where? In the natural. Power gifts are received in the natural. Because they alter natural processes. They heal the body. They heal the sick. They raise the dead. They store things in nature. So they are not in the spirit like that. they function from the spirit of man are born again, but they are not in the spirit. Well, revelation and utterance gifts are in the spirit. Where is it? The demonstration of the spirit and of power. The spirit there refers to revelation and utterance gifts. Then the power refers to what is done in the natural. Amen. Are we together? Okay. Now let's look at the meeting. We now come together. Now we all know that we have the spirit of seeing and knowing. Amen. The spirit of seeing and knowing is the spirit of the man that is born again. Now we all come to a meeting. That's what we're doing. Now we are all born again. We all now, because I'm going to end this meeting by 8 o'clock maximum. We all come into the meeting. All born again. Now Paul explains that to us in 1 Corinthians 14. We use a general rule, and then we'll have exceptions in a moment. Now, when we come together like that, just like in the case of the 70, the 68, let's use that as an example. The 68, then Eder and Nader were outside, but there was somebody who said nothing. What was his name? Huh? Abba. There was somebody who did nothing. In that story, Numbers 11. Who was it? Joshua. It was one gisting, giving the gist. He did nothing. That means the tangible, it was tangible on everybody. So it wasn't a geographical spread, like you just pour ale on people. So anybody who is there, wherever you are, do you understand? You do what is done. He saw it, he was there. He didn't function in what they were doing, but he was geographically in the place. Are we together? Do you understand that? That is, somebody had that spirit on him, and he was right beside Joshua, and Joshua did nothing. So it wasn't like when he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and it says, your sons and then your daughters. It wasn't referring to Jews. But that was the language with which Joel could say it. So when you say, upon all flesh, and you think that wherever you're there, you're there. For instance, Acts 2, when the Spirit of God came, as it were, in the midst of those folks, you know, in Solomon's porch. I've told you before, the idea we all have, you should have, is that there was a place upstairs, everybody was staying. So like the Spirit of God just came in and then came to the upper room. So as they were making noise, everybody downstairs, you have the idea, where, no, listen, they now began to come around. No. They used to meet in Solomon's porch. You do some study, you see how Solomon's porch was. There were different compartments. In meeting, people were around. But the Spirit of God came only on 120. And when the Spirit of God came on the 120, and then the 120 functioned in the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God, there were thousands who were there. Praise the Lord. But it wasn't a question of the Spirit of God was just poured carelessly on people. It were those who believed and who received. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. Who believed and who received. So we can look at Acts 2 and Numbers 11 as a meeting of people, of which we will have those who received the gospel, those who believe, and those who did not. Joshua did not receive, but he was there. The Jews who said, are these guys drunk? They were right there when the Spirit of God came. So, the same way now, we're in a meeting, and Paul paints a classical picture for us. When you are all come together, who are the you? The you that are born again. And then there comes in somebody that is not a believer. He will not do what you're doing because he's there. Amen. So it's not a geographical thing. It's not that we're all here. They are all. No. He will not do what you're doing because he's there. He will only do what you're doing if he's born of God. So we come into a meeting and we are all here now. Now, Daniel is born again He has the tangibility, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son. Ayo is not born again. Ayo comes for the meeting. Pay attention here. They are here. Now, if you look at everybody gathering, Ayo is better dressed than Daniel, I think. Nice shirt, nice tie. But he's not born again. But he comes to the meeting. In fact, do you know that the kind of crowd that comes to church, you're not likely to have people, there's no scanner at the door that will say, tan tan, born again, stay on this side. Tan tan, not born again. So Paul is not saying, when you're all prophesying, or you're speaking in tongues, then somebody comes in, and then the scanner says, he's not saved. Then we bless him. Are you following what I'm saying? Good. Rather, it's in 1 Corinthians 14, a distinction between a man who is born of the Spirit and a man that is not born of the Spirit. That's exactly what happened to Joshua and then the 70 at the time of the shadow, and happened in Acts 2 when the 120 spoke in tongues and prophesied, and then other people were mocking. Now, the same way, we have a meeting and people come in. Thousands, hundreds of people, they come in. First and foremost, man is a spirit. So, the distinction will be in the human spirit. Not in the dressing or the sitting position. The distinction will be in the human spirit. For instance, let's have a picture. I'm not sure this will happen, but let me just have a picture. Like, the 120 people were here. Pastor, it's 120 people. Pastor Wiley is not. He's just a Jew who came around Solomon's porch. Page is one of the 120 people. City is not. Now, the Spirit of God now came on those who received the gospel. So those folks will just be there. And they are not speaking in tongues. They are not prophesying. Okay? Praise the Lord. And then, the gifts of God are yet to bless them. And they are present. They are present. So, in the spirit is where the distinction is. It's not in the sitting position, in the dressing. Nope. It's in the spirit. Now, notice this now. We will only be able to view the human spirit from the mind. We'll be able to view the human spirit from the mind. The mind displays the nature of the human spirit. Now, I'm going to correct that, because that's a general rule. I'm going to give it an exception. As we begin to function in the spirit, Scott says, are they crazy? Now, he just gave us the picture of the human spirit. We wouldn't have seen it until he reacts to what was going on. Are we there? Are we there now? He wouldn't have seen it until he reacts to what was going on. So he has reacted. So Paul says, if somebody comes in, 1 Corinthians 14, the one that occupies this room of the unlearned, or better still, let me read the one that it says, and there comes in those who are unbelievers, verse 23. They don't believe. So he comes in. Say, are you not mad? Will you not say that you are mad? That's what he's going to say. Why? His mind has just opened his spirit to us. Now, the same way we can know, his mind opens up his spirit to us. Secondly, we now have a group. That's the exception now. They are called the unlearned. In the Greek, it's called idiotis. Somebody who does not have understanding. Actually, it's the same way you get the word fool. Idiotis. Where you are foolish. It's the same root word. Foolish means slow to learn. It's not that he's not born again. He has the Spirit of God. But his mind is untaught. His mind is untaught. So it will give you, it will present itself, like doctors say, say the malaria presents itself like stomach trouble. So it will present a born again human spirit, but not developed as not born again. It will react the same way. Why? He has fed his mind with junk. But don't forget, we are still in the meeting. And everybody who is born again has the spirit of a seer, seeing and knowing. We will see things, we will know things, we will say things. So we'll have three categories of people in the meeting. Those who have the spirit of seeing and knowing and know it and function in it. Those who don't know it and don't function in it. And those who don't have at all. So we have three sets of people in the meeting. So we go and start and say the first one, all of us speak with tongues. We speak unto God, verse 2. No man understands. Albeit in the spirit, we speak mysteries. Okay? Now, one of the ways you look at the untaught man is that he always speculates. He will speculate, he will doubt, and then, you know, the height of the flesh, he will make a mockery, just like Jesus. You know, those folks at the cross, he speculated, if you say you are the Son of God, if you say you are a King of Jews, and then they began to mock, come down now, save yourself. So you see that there will be mockery. Yet what Jesus was doing was biblical, original, and from God. So the reaction of the human mind to something does not validate or invalidate it. So in this context, you will see the human spirit represents itself. But the difficulty here will be that man that is born again that we cannot really see in his conduct. And it's on that basis that Paul will now call you, who knows tongues, who knows interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, he will call you ignorant. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant of what? Of the operations of the gifts of God. Don't be ignorant. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we now come together. Now, when we come together, Paul is saying to us here, watch this, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 14, if therefore the whole church come together into one place, don't forget one place, geography, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned. Now, I would have said he meant all speak with tongues only. Those that are unlearned or unbelievers, would they not say that you are mad? But, if all speak with tongues and interpret, and there comes in one that believes not, or one unlearned, is convinced of all, he is judged of all. He is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you. Of the truth. Great. Now look at that. So, it says tongues plus interpretation, okay, will, now listen to us, the utterance gifts and then the revelation gifts reveal God's presence. So the man who is either untaught or is not saved. I'll say that again. The utterance gifts and revelations gifts unveil God's presence to the man who is either not saved or not taught. They unveil God's presence to him. He will report that God is in you of the truth. I'll take that again. The revelation gifts unveil to the man that God is in you of the truth. He will see it. He will know it. Why? Because the spirit of the man born again can see, know things without being told. We have the view that God will show him, then he will tell you. No. He knows. It's the mind that is told. The mind is told. Then the mind communicates it. If the spirit of a man born again were to communicate directly what it knows, it will come out in what? Tongues. So it has to go through the mind, and then that will be interpretation of tongues. Okay? Are we together here? That means if I stand here today, and I speak with tongues, if you sit here now and you speak with tongues for 2 hours, it's not unlikely that you have said so many things that you were not told. You know. But that doesn't reveal anything to anybody until you use the medium where people will know of the truth God is here. Amen. Do you understand that? Okay. If you were to communicate directly what you know, it will come out in tongues. Tongues bypasses the human spirit, the human mind. Because the human mind is unfruitful with tongues. When it comes to prophecy, it leverages myself and the unbelieving man. So, revelation must come through the human mind. Revelation must come through the human mind, because for it to be a blessing to others, just like I've said, it has to be communicable to the human mind. So when we're in a meeting, that's where we're going. It says the secret of his heart are made manifest. Now look, I'll use an example, and that's Peter's case. Peter, in that instance, asked them, you know, it was his belief system. The way he had done his ministry for a while. And God just shows him, was praying. I mean, he went to the rooftop to pray and come to a trance, and God showed him a vision. He said, do not kill and eat. So that brought out something deep in him. If you observe, and I want you to notice this, before Acts 10, you will not hear anybody say, the Gentile cannot be saved. He didn't say that. It was via that vision that brought out their belief system. And then from the vision, the arguments they brought out, and what everybody said, it was not obvious to us how they actually saw the word. Now, we're still in a meeting. So when we come to a meeting like that, the human spirit sees and knows. And when it is coming out in tongues, it is saying the things it knows and it has seen. Amen. Okay. And it communicates that to people by revelation. That revelation is not revelation to the human spirit born again, is revelation from the human spirit born again to the man who is not saved or unlearned. Now, we will come to a meeting like this. Everybody's here. We have the spirit of seeing and knowing. Okay? Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. How do we function in a meeting? I don't know how many abundance Paul had, but if you read the book of Revelation for just one man, I think Paul spoke too quickly. Praise the Lord. That was a lot. Okay. Verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now you can see separation. I've always said this, and I will say it again. And when it comes to revelation, there seems to be a practice in the scripture that if you give yourself to fasting and prayer, you will see things. It appears that whenever you can suppress the human mind and suppress the human flesh, you will see more expressions from the born-again human spirit. And I showed you last week, Acts 13, the ministry of the Lord and pastor. You always see that every time you do lesser things in the natural, and you like concentrate, you know, on spiritual things. I'm talking about fasting and prayer now. You will, it's like a rule. You will see things in your mind now, and you will know things. It's as though all those spiritual exercises break the barrier from the human spirit to the human mind, and then the human body. Is that clear? Now, John was there, and then in verse 10, the key word, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now, in this context, Romans 8:9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It shall be that the spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the spirit of Christ, none of his. Now, in that, everybody born again is in the spirit. You're born again, you're in the spirit. But there's a word he used here. For instance, Paul says that in the spirit you speak mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. If you speak with tongues. Now here, when he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, it's a Greek word. The word there is the Greek word ginomai. It's the same word that was used in John 1:14. And the word became flesh. Took on flesh. That is an activity. The word preceded, the fleshly, or the flesh manifestation of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word, the word was God, John 1:1. But the word took on flesh. Okay? So, the word here is the word, the Greek word ginomai. It means to take on something. That is, I became in the spirit. That's what it was. I mean, it's the same way you are in, assuming you are here, and I say, I stepped into that room. Something you can do. Okay? It's not an unconscious reality. It's not an unconscious thing. It's something you can do. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So he said, I heard behind me, please follow this, a great voice. So he heard. Amen. Where did he hear it? Huh? Now, if you were around him that day and you were a good guy and you love God, you are not born again, and you were sitting beside him, would you have heard it? Huh? No, because he heard it where? In the spirit. Praise God. He didn't hear it in the highland of Patmos. He heard it in the spirit. If it was in his room, he would have heard in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay. So I heard in the spirit, behind me, a great voice, as of a trumpet. I want you to observe something. Spiritual things, or when you hear these descriptions, they are to show you how real it was. Like a trumpet saying. I mean, if you have seen a trumpet blow before, a trumpet does not speak. But it's saying it's loud enough for me to hear it. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he heard Jesus speak. Look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Now observe that. When he heard that voice, he now turned to see the voice that spoke with him. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now look up. Look up. Let me see whether you are following. Here is John. He hears a voice behind him. Now he turns back. Now he said, I was in the spirit. Now that turning and that hearing behind me was that in the spirit. Abba, are you not listening? He heard behind him, that is, you heard somebody talking from behind you. Was that in the spirit? Huh? It was. So he also turned in the spirit. To where? Huh? Praise God. You're not following what I'm saying. He turned. Okay, let's assume, let me flow with you. He was running ahead in the spirit and the voice came behind him. So he now turned in the spirit to see, you know, the voice. And when he turned, he saw 7 golden candlesticks. What's going on here? Eh? Remember what? Is it an open vision or a closed one? I thought you'll have taken that to note. When you are in an open vision, things look like natural to you. So is it an open vision or a closed one? Huh? Closed? Jesus is Lord. Is this open? Are his senses involved here? Huh? Are they involved? If it was in a closed vision, would he turn around? I think it's an open one now. And we are not been studying. So here he is. He's in a secluded place, praying, waiting upon the Lord. And naturally this will happen. And just like every open vision, you might not be aware that that's what's going on. So when you saw candlesticks, you know, by the time you read verse 17, then he now saw Jesus, he now fell down as dead. And he laid his hand upon me and said to me, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." So, he is not aware of what's going on. He saw candlesticks and he said, "What am I looking at?" The midst of the 7 candlesticks, what are you, son of man, clothed with the garments, the food, and girds about with palms with a golden girdle. I mean, you could describe it. His head and his ears were white as wool, as white as snow. You know, and all that. So, here he is. He's in the spirit, but his senses are active. Amen. Are we there? So being in the spirit, your senses are still what? Active. So that means in a meeting like this, I can see things and my senses are active. You know, I can know things also and my senses are active. And then, you know, Jesus speaks to him and he says, "Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And ever, and have the keys of hell and death." Now, John, if you read his epistles, John knew this. But this came back to him as a word of knowledge. That's serious. That means to confirm what you know. He confirms what he knows. And then he says, "And the things which you have seen, and these which are the things that shall be thereafter." So, he's in the spirit. He became in the spirit. It's his choice. Why are you doing the island of Patmos? Why are you doing fasting and praying? It's your choice. So, he sees things supernaturally. You know, he hears things supernaturally. I said, I had a voice, and he had a couple of things, you know, there and there. Now, watch this. So he says in verse 19, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter." Verse 20, "The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and 7 golden candlesticks, and the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 castles which you saw are the 7 churches." Now we hear angels, the messengers, the pastors, and then the 7 churches themselves. So it begins to, that's the spirit of seeing and what? Knowing. Now, who is writing? Who is supposed to? That statement Jesus made in verse 20 is to who? Eh? Is to who? Okay, look up. Now, He's now caught in a vision. Let me paint the picture to you. I don't want to take too much time. There you go. Where'd you go? Let me use it. Come on. This is Daniel, all right? Sorry, this is not Daniel. This is Daniel. So he hears a voice, okay? And then, as he hears the voice, he sees Jesus. Okay? Make sure you don't lose this one. He sees Jesus. Sorry. And then, Jesus says to him, in the vision, write this. This will happen to so and so. Now, who is Jesus communicating to? The spirit of Daniel or his mind? Huh? His what? His mind. Why? Because he used, of course, candles and things that eyes don't understood. So where is Daniel the spirit? This is it. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? Go sit. Do you get that? Do you understand that? I will repeat myself. Alright, so now, so he says to the mind is the one that needs the interpretation. And then symbols were used to understand. The spirit of man knows. You don't start telling him, this is what it means. That is what it means. Then that spirit is not born again. Is that clear? It's already taught in Christ. It has an unction from the Holy One, knows all things. 1 John 2:20, 2:27. Okay? So it says, I know, or is there a spirit of Christ from the spirit of the man born again? Eh? If you can separate them, the man is not saved. Praise God. So it says, unto the church of the, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the definite church, I don't know why people today are using it for churches in Nigeria. This thing said he that holds the seven candles, the seven stars in his hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, okay, and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou tried them which they say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, that labors and has not been said. Now look at this. John did not know this. John did not know this. Amen. Did he say, John, we know? John did not know. So this came to him as a word of knowledge. Nevertheless, I have something against thee because you have left your first love. It's not likely you will see it. Amen. Revelation often comes to us, you know, when John could not see this readily, so God lets him know that this church has left its first love. Remember therefore from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy countenance out of this place except you repent. And this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So here he is. He's pointing out things. And then is bringing to John's attention in John's mind. So John will now go to that church, okay, and then be able to communicate expressly that revelation to them. Now, you know, John could have come to church. If John stays in church, now look up now. I want to show you something. Look here. Look here. So that you click this well. You know, John, if John had come to that church, church in Ephesus, and stayed like this, and spoke with tongues for 4 or 5 hours, he would have communicated this to them either way. But they will not have received that communication until it is reduced to revelation to the mind of man. Praise the Lord. So, John in the Spirit spoke with tongues, and then here is the interpretation to him. So my tongues can come back in interpretation by a vision that I see. That's clear. So here is it, John. John didn't know these things. Then Jesus said, look, tell them. Now look at verse 7, very key. He says, let him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. What the Spirit saith unto the churches. What the Spirit says unto the churches. Is that doctrine? Huh? Is that doctrine? Talk to me. No. But it doesn't defy doctrine. It points you back to established scripture. Your first love, your works, false prophets, you know, those are things in the scripture. So revelation can come to address our minds where we are careless, where we have not paid attention. So, this way of going, revelation gifts through ministry can minister judgments. Don't forget, he is judged of all. It can minister judgments to us. The secrets of his heart, things are revealed, can minister judgment to us. Remember, one brother did say this, and I knew he was right. He just called me one day and said, sir, I saw something. And then when we were having a great time in church then, since community, the same stuff, I mean, some 3-4 years back. He said, I saw something, and then he described it. You know how, he didn't put any interpretation. He just said to me, Pastor, he said somebody was getting healed, and then he said, I won't remember very well. So somebody got healed, and then somebody got saved, and then some folks were sitting somewhere. Majority, they would just laugh. And then they stopped. There's some people brought in food. They were eating, you know, as, you know, things were being done, but they didn't pay attention. And then he said he was stunned that he just felt funny about it. And I said, yeah, you're right. I said, just a couple of days back, I said, I have seen something. The Lord said that we have become irreverent as a church. And I said that we have to correct that. And then that was why I thought, I think, the fear of the Lord. And then, you know, see, that brought us back to scripture. You get that? But somebody saw something. He didn't put anything to us. Some folks would have just said, sir, I think you need to check yourself. You need some prayers. He said, let them speak 2 or 3 and let the other judge. We must see what you have said. Bring it to tested ministers, particularly when it's for the church. You don't just come up and speak. You know, whenever I have things, for instance, in the body of Christ, I know that there are some people who have called. Well, I saw this. And then they say, well, this is how to go about it, you know, and all that. So, in this context now, John, you know, was in. Jesus expressly said to him, write this down and say it to them. You know, that's different. And of course, John functioned in that capacity where he could. He was a pillar of the faith. He was a foundational apostle. And then much more than that, you know, he had preeminence among the churches. He wouldn't just raise somebody from the back room and say, you come and, you know, come and say something. And all. That's a bit like a protocol. So, look at this. So, judgment can be given, and then we are judged. Something we are not doing right. And, I mean, some folks have come up like that, and they said, look, we have to correct this, you know. And it helps us to now teach. It doesn't reveal something that is in the Bible to us, but points our attention to it. And that's why, as a minister, for us, so sometimes you see things about the congregation, and then it will inform certain things you have not addressed in teaching. Hallelujah. 2000. I took some time to pass fast and pray. I think it was 30 days. And then at the close of it, you know, I saw something. And then I saw people were tired. Just, they would come to church and they would just go tired. Right in church. They would just be tired. And I said, all right. And then the Lord spoke to me to organize retreats and have Christians who are tired come there to be refreshed and to be renewed. So we began what we call the Holy Ghost Street, you know, which eventually, you know, led to a couple of other things like that that we're doing today. I saw it myself. So I called for the first one. And then we came in. We just took some time out to pray, to fast, and then to hear God's word over a time. You know, that helped us in direction. I wouldn't have known that was a problem. Sometimes you'll just be teaching and you'll say, what's going on? Why? And then that's the proper time to wait on the Lord. And then you will see things and judge that congregation. And there's areas you have problems. You know, Jesus, you say, well, I know you heal the sick. I know you teach the word. I know you uphold doctrine. I know you come upon souls. I know you heal the doctrine of the collective. However, since community, amen, I have this against you. I bind you in Jesus' name. I have this against you. The Lord will reveal hypocrisy in our midst. He could reveal some sins of the flesh. Don't get scared. Amen. I didn't say he did. He could reveal, you know, laziness in prayer and study, you know, and then we judge ourselves. Then that informs what we do next. Amen. So, you know, you graduate from going around somewhere, you don't have your school fees. Amen. To being able to speak and reveal God's judgment. That judgment is not conviction, that is condemnation. That judgment is to, you know, unveil to us areas that we are not doing. It's a discernment. A discernment. Sometimes it will speak out the things that are in our hearts, you know, as individuals. And what I want to notice is this. I don't believe that everybody in Ephesus left their first works, first love. However, scripture oftentimes judges by the common denominator. What is prominent amongst these people? Don't forget, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So when we judge it like that, we curb that, you know, effect, you know, amongst the people. 1998, I was with some folks like that, and we had a great vision, you know, for school then. So, I've been waiting on the Lord and praying for the campus. Oftentimes when you pray for people and pray for a place, a country, God will show you things. Amen. If you pray for your church members, God will show you things. If you pray regularly for them, for people, God will show you things. I didn't say you will know all things. I didn't say that. John didn't know all things about that, about the churches. He didn't know things about the different individuals. But you know that day I was praying and then I'd seen some things. I didn't know what it was, but I was so excited about those young people that were doing ministry together. And then, as we were talking that day, I just said to them, I spoke out, you know, as inspired of the Spirit of God. And I said, guys, you be careful of marital relationships. We're about to plan for a big meeting. And we had said it before that that meeting was going to be happening every 3 months or so, that it's going to be a major meeting. I said, Lord said to tell you that if you don't cop this, if you don't do this, it will be the last meeting you will ever organize on this campus. And he saw somebody who was in 100 level, was going to study for 7 years, 6 years. You wonder, well, I'm a minister of the gospel. You sometimes you feel like a big boy. The Lord said to tell you. But don't forget, he didn't say you will not have any meeting on this campus. He just said, ensure that this does not happen. I said, no, Pastor Sheikh. We're in for the word. And then, you know, what people can be very stupid. You know, the Ephesus church was knowledgeable, amen. Isn't it? But they left their first love. Some of you have left your first love. You used to be humble at heart. You used to be, you know, simple to reach. But now you've known so much. Paul said, you quote scripture back to us, I'm not condemned. I'm in Christ. In him justified, is in me glorified. But you have left your first love. Praise God. And then I told them, do you know something? I told them about relationships, that they should be careful of the destruction of relationships, the marital relationships. And they didn't listen. And that was the last meeting that was held. I reminded them months later. And I told him that, well, I told you this earlier. And then I learned the guy who was in charge of that ministry ran and said, we will hold another one. He had 6 more years after. He never held one. Praise God. And he eventually became a pastor of one of the fellowships, but he never held him. So really, you know, Revelation comes to judge us and then allow us to correct certain things in our lives. Also, it comes to warn us. Amen. I'll run now. It warns us. Sometimes we're too used to, Amra of a host, if I had to give the hosts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the river will flow, hallelujah. And then the mountains will fall down at your feet. Even God will bow at your feet. And then the glory of God will rise upon you. And then you will step out and all men will see your legs. And then you will know that you are anointed of the Spirit. Amen. Oh, the giants are here. And they will say when you look either and either. And say, what am I seeing? It's a mighty force. They have come to the land. The land is theirs and all that. Amen. That's for, let them speak to over three and let the other interpret. But say, let the prophet speak. Amen. They will see and speak. Then they will cover us. As they encourage us, I know thy works. I know how you are pressing. Keep pressing. And then they will also warn us. Because the prophecy comes to also exhort us, to call us to order. Many of us that listen well in meetings, some of you could be careless. You know, you just listen to them. That's why normally when people say, worry! Wait! Wait! I personally don't get to laugh in the spirit until the meeting is over. Amen. Because I want to hear. Sometimes you're laughing in the spirit and someone is saying, if you don't pray, a greater disaster will come and say, glory! Woo! That's no more in the spirit. The day a greater disaster will come and say, glory! And you run. Amen. Are we together? Well, in a meeting like that, Revelation comes, it shows us what we're doing, it shows us what we shouldn't do. Praise the Lord. Secrets of our hearts are made manifest. Made manifest. So most of the time you see that, you discover that in the visions, I'm going to close on this now, symbols are used. Candlesticks, you know, because it's not doctrine. Amen. Okay? I will close on that. So candlesticks are used. I want to close, uncle. Candlesticks are used. You see things are, pictures are painted. You know, because now you're related. You're related with the human mind. And it's not because you are not a spiritual man. Praise God. Your mind cannot be so spiritual. Amen. That you mean your mind becomes as spiritual as you think it should be, then your mind is now a recreated human spirit. Hallelujah. So you need to be taught sometimes, and then things are shown to it. And all that. Yet you have to interpret them. And he interpreted them. So some things are just plain for you to interpret. Revelation 2:20. Jezebel was mentioned. You know, Jezebel was dead. Was dead already, but her name was mentioned. What she represented was manipulation and intimidation. That's what she represented. And that was, said they were already, they said, verse 20, I have a few things against you. Because thou sufferest the woman, you allow the woman Jezebel, which call herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things offered sacrifice unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So she's not talking about the Jezebel of the Bible, but that was used, you know, to show you something. I've had a vision before, not one, not twice, where a Bible character was actually seen. You now ask me, you know, I remember one day I was sitting there and I was going to laugh myself. I saw a Bible character. And I knew that was Bible character. I just knew that was Bible character. And I asked myself, well, have you ever seen that guy before? I said, no. But, you know, my mind was taught like that. And I just saw that that was the one, the person I saw. You know, so you find Revelation 3:19 now. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So it gives you an instruction. The revelation is an instruction in it. You see that there was no doctrine, but it helped to straighten and to, you know, address doctrinal issues. Sometimes you see, you just see something. You just see supernaturally. And then you know what it means. It just directs you to something. And don't forget, they will come in to warn us also of, you know, several things. Praise the Lord. So in Revelation, in a meeting, we're going to continue next week, they are to address our minds sometimes to things we are not doing, for us to do them. We'll see things, we'll see people, you know, sometimes the inevitable is shown. I've seen strife before in visions. I just see literal strife in a vision. Sometimes I wonder why. Amen. I just say, wow. Remember one time I told the ministry, I said, we're going to be shaking. And they were, you don't take note of that. We're going to be shaking. We'll be shaking. When the shaking came, nobody was shaking their heads. For you to know that people were not listening, they were taking sides. Yes, I agree. I mean, we shouldn't, you know, so we were actually shaking. Praise the Lord. So let's all learn to receive. You have to know how to receive. When, look at what God said to him. He said, write this down and warn the churches. God can warn us. Warn the churches. I love Revelation. Gives a lot. Amen. They address your mind to so many things. You probably have left. You know, it's always, I mean, the ones we love the most are the ones that tell us, you know, and it's okay to minister. We want to minister healing to people and not to get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and all that. But there's a higher level where we actually begin to address a people and the conduct of the people. Hallelujah. The conduct of the people. I was preaching the congregation, and then before I got to, I was in the hotel room. And I just saw dogs all over the congregation. Dogs. I knew what a dog was. So I called the pastor. And then I told the pastor, I said, this. And he said, no. I said, oh. I tried to, you know, you can't come and say, I saw dogs in your congregation. You guys are breeding dogs. You guys are, you know, that's an immature way of doing that. I called him. I said, hi. I saw this. I didn't say it expressly, and I addressed an issue. I said, no. Yeah, but really in the meeting, I taught them they are righteous, you know, they are in Christ, you know, doctrine. They're born again, they're holy. And then you come again, God says they're holy, but they have dogs. Amen. He said, no way, in Jesus' name, I bind you, I lose you, I cast you out. But the Bible says, beware of dogs. You don't know? Have you heard of dogs in the Bible? Let me show you. You don't know? No, have you heard of dogs in the Bible? Philippians 3:2. I don't know, you don't know. Have you seen it? Let's read it now. Want to go? Have you? Beware of dogs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, it's time to dig deep into Revelation. God will show you things to come. Things that are happening sometimes are your purview. Of course, you are not omniscient, but you are worship, you are fellowshipping, you know, in that realm in God. You are not omniscient, but you are fellowshipping surely in that realm in God. Take some time, like I taught you last week, and just involve yourself in spiritual exercises. Just fast. You know. I think I was saying it during the week to some folks. I said, look, when you hear some of those CAC people go to, and then they come out and they say legitimate things. I said, they just know something that works. Spend time with God. You will know things. Just spend time with God. I didn't say God is not in you before you begin to tell me God is with thee. Anytime, anywhere I take him to, whether it's to Silverberg Galleria, we're watching it together. Spend time with God. You will, the same way you spend time with his word and you will know scripture. Spend time in prayer and fasting. You will know things. Hallelujah. Amen. We got some out of that. Stand to our feet and bless the Lord. Thank him. Good. Let's bless the Lord.